Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. The purpose of this half an hour, my prayer for you watching this, is that you will have a zeal not just to pray for yourself and your family or your local church, and do that, of course, but do you pray for world missions? Do you pray for that the people in Iraq come to know Christ, the people in the Sudan? We're going to do a whole half an hour on just going hard after world missions, getting that into our mindset and into our prayer life. So I want to introduce to you kind of an expert on world missions. His name is Jerry Schomer. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Tom.
Glad to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Real quick, what do you do for a living, Jerry?
Yep. I work with Converge Worldwide, and I'm the Director of Church Planning Partnerships. So I work with our 1,300 churches in North America to help them plant indigenous, self-sustaining house churches in the 1040 window.
Okay, and we're going to talk about what that is.
Sure.
So, Jerry, Converge used to be called the Baptist. You know,
the Baptist General Conference.
There you go.
Name change about 7-8 years ago.
So I'm a Lutheran, you're a Baptist, but we can hold hands on reaching the world for Christ.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, before we jump into world missions, I always like to ask our guest, how did you come to know Christ? What's your story?
Yeah, absolutely. I came to know Christ as my personal Savior, Lord, at really a pretty tender age, age 11. Mm-hmm. I was at a camp in northern Wisconsin, beautiful setting. And I remember the pastor saying that Jesus Christ would come back as a thief in the night. And he said, would you be ready? And I knew that night that I wouldn't be ready to see him. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be ready. And it's a miracle, right, when people come to faith.
Yeah.
And I just felt that tug of the Holy Spirit, and that was my day. That night I said yes to Jesus.
Were you raised in a Christian church at all?
You know, I was raised in a Christian church. But I came to know Christ then.
Yeah. And have you walked with him since, or did you wander, or what happened?
You know, I have walked with him since, by his grace.
Great.
Absolutely.
Well, so now you're full-time devoting yourselves to world missions, basically.
That's right.
Do you travel a lot?
I do a little bit, mostly in North America.
Okay.
But when we do overseas vision trips, primarily to India, mm-hmm. but most recently Nepal,
okay.
one of the fastest-growing churches in the world.
Well, let's start with that.
Okay.
Where is the gospel spreading and people converting?
Yep.
And where is the gospel kind of dying out?
Well, the gospel is really spreading rapidly in places like Nepal.
Which is above India.
Above India, near China, in that area. There was an openness to the gospel there for many years. Back in 1970, for example, there were only a few hundred Christians. Now, through church planting efforts, church planting movements, house churches, we see hundreds of thousands of people come to know Christ.
What country is this now?
This is Nepal.
Okay.
But it is primarily still a Hindu country,
yeah.
primarily still Buddhist. Mm-hmm. So about 2-3% of the population are followers of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
But the Christians are very zealous. And they just go out and tell others about Jesus. And
right.
God is doing
Where
great
else
work.
Is the gospel spreading?
You know, I think other places, you know, where the church is persecuted and where the church is suffering, where it takes great dedication, that's where the church is growing.
Like
and
where?
Oh, places like in North Africa, for example, you know, that 1040 yeah. window.
Explain what the 1040
yeah,
window is.
Yeah, it's all about latitude there, you know, 10 degrees north, you know, it's
10 degrees north of the equator.
Yep, and 40 degrees south I believe it is.
Which
yep.
basically is the most unreached area in the world, am
exactly
I right?
Exactly right.
Which is Northern Africa, India.
India, Myanmar, Nepal.
China
a little bit, Vietnam, okay. those areas.
So when they talk about the 1040 window, that's above and below the equator.
Yeah, correct.
That's where the most lost people are on the planet.
Right, and greatest opportunities. And to be a Christian in those settings, I mean, you're just fully dedicated, right?
You're putting your life on the line,
and God is using that to reach. Now, on the flip side, I guess we would say there's probably places in Europe, for example, where the church is
dying.
And again, here in the United States, I mean, there are places, the church that I go to, if I may say, Eagle Brook Church. I mean, we've seen over 1,000 people come to know Christ already this year.
Wonderful.
It's a church of about 20,000 plus. Yep. So there are pockets where the gospel is growing. But there are churches in America, unfortunately, that are, plateaued.
I can say this because I'm a Lutheran.
Mm.
The Lutheran State Church in Sweden, although I don't think it's a state church anymore, but the Lutheran Church in Sweden, which is the church in Sweden, the bishop is a partnered lesbian, and she preached that there was a certain church near the harbor. She wanted the cross taken down so as not to offend Muslims.
Mm.
So that's called a dying church in Scandinavia,
a
lot of Germany, France.
Yep.
These places that used to be very Christian are losing it.
Yep, you're right.
Jerry, as far as the 1040 window, you went to a trip to India that really did something for you. Tell us about that.
Yes, it really did. It was back in 2014, summer of 2014, and I had been serving with Baptist General Conference, Converge, as a pastor for over 30 years, and committed to world missions and had gone on missions trips. But I had heard that from our denominational leaders that we could plant a church for $333. I thought, how can you do that? And essentially our leader, Ivan Velhuizen, director of world missions, said, come and see. And so I prayed about it and I said yes. I went to India and I saw two things. I saw a great need. And then the dedication of our church planters there. And I don't know how to explain it, but that combination of need and when I saw people who, how shall I say it, giving it all for Jesus, and even suffering a measure of persecution, it just captured my heart. And so long story short, came back to my church and we decided to invest, and our church was very generous. We gave like $30,000 to train these church planters, and so we were able to plant over 100 house churches.
And so how do they do it? Do they train a missionary from America to go over, or do they train locals to become the pastors of these churches?
We're all about local leadership.
Okay.
Yep. There is some Western involvement, like myself and others, but our top leaders are indigenous local leaders. And this is how it works very briefly. So a church planter can be a pastor in, let's say, India or Nepal, or it can be a relatively new Christian.
Yeah.
And we take them through an 18-week course on personal discipleship and church planting strategy.
Okay.
It's kind of like an assessment center. If they pass that,
uh-huh.
if they complete it faithfully,
okay.
then we open and welcome them in to a two-year, mini seminary course.
Okay. And so you're training local people.
We are training local national leaders
To
become the pastors.
Okay.
And they meet in houses.
And it's a lot cheaper than training someone in America who was born here anyway. Right?
Well, that's true. And they're closest to the people and less barriers. So, So they, let's say if they're a taxi driver, they keep on being a taxi driver. If they're a merchant, they keep on being a merchant. So they're tent-making ministries. And they meet in houses.
Tent making, for people that don't know that term,
means
you keep a jet, like Paul used to make tents while he preached the gospel.
Exactly.
So you keep driving the cab while you're a pastor at a church.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you plant a house church, and the average size is about 20. But the key is that we multiply. Mm-hmm. Once God brings 20 people into that church, and they're almost all new Christians, then we raise up our what we call our Timothys, who are the church planters.
Timothy being the young pastor that Paul mentored. Okay.
Exactly.
People don't know this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Paul, Timothy, Titus, faithful men and women. We try to build four generations of church planters.
Okay.
And so they go to the next village.
So if the church gets too big in somebody's house, you start a second church.
Absolutely.
Are there any churches that get so big you got to buy a building somewhere?
Well, we rent buildings.
Oh, you do.
When I was in India, we were talking about 3 years ago, there was a church that was about 100 people. And I wouldn't call it a mega church, but by those standards and this methodology, it was a larger church. So they rented actually a former Hindu gathering center.
Really?
Yeah.
How often are they being persecuted in these new churches in India?
In India, Nepal, well, actually in India, as I understand it, the persecution, the reports we get, It's kind of accelerating a little bit because of
mostly
some government
at the hands of Muslims, would you say?
Actually,
Hindus?
Hindus, actually.
Hindus. Okay,
India
right.
is very Hindu. Pakistan is Muslim, for example.
Okay.
But again, we don't talk about that a lot. But if you go on a vision trip, you know, if a pastor would go on a vision trip and you start talking with the church planters, they'll tell their story of how they were either maybe physically beaten or economically or, you know, something happened to their family that was hard. It's very, very humbling
and
to hear
those
stories.
And I don't know if you know of a group called International Christians Concerned, but they and Voice of the Martyrs are the two Christian groups that I encourage you, go to persecution.org, ask for their free magazine.
Yep.
You'll get it every month and tell you stories that are horrible
that
you pray for.
It's amazing.
So here's my question for you, Jerry.
And could I add
real
quick thing? On the persecuted Christians, you know, we say as a Western Christian, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. But they say it is our privilege to suffer for
Christ.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And
then
that, it was that kind of experience that just touched my heart.
I know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jerry, I remember seeing a film by a Chinese pastor who's been in and out of jail for years.
Yeah.
And he said, don't pray for an end to persecution in China. He said, persecution, good for church.
Good for church. I know it's a mystery.
Yeah,
it's true.
But, you know, we don't have much persecution in America, a little, with bakers losing their jobs because they won't do gay weddings. But we need persecution in America. I don't want it, but we have a very filthy church in America because nobody's suffering. If you suffer, then you find out who the Christians are.
It purifies the church.
Yeah. So here's the kind of the main reason I heard you preach. I wanted to have you on TV.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. Let's say somebody's watching this and they rarely pray for world missions because they're praying for their family and their local church.
Yeah.
And their church just really doesn't talk about missions.
First
of all, what would you advise for someone watching this who wants to catch a fire for world missions personally, and then how would you bring that to your church? So personally first.
Okay, personally first. Let's start with prayer. Mm-hmm. The website that I would recommend is called Operation World.
Is that under? Okay, that's a different one.
Yeah,
Operation World.
Just Google Google Operation World. And it has all 196 countries in the world. And it'll, some have videos, and they have different prayer requests. So I would say, you know, you can start there.
Operation World.
Operation.
Maybe once a day, go to the website and pray for a country.
Exactly.
Okay.
You'll find it very exciting.
Yep.
And some of the videos are, like, beautiful. Like, Nepal is a very beautiful country, for example. Okay. But I think, for my experience, and as I talk with other pastors, probably the way to get, I think you were asking how to get the heart for missions, how to get that passion. I would say this.
Yeah.
Have maybe your pastor or some of your key leaders go on a vision trip.
Amen.
And meet face to face. Feel it, touch it, smell it. Mm-hmm. It's an investment. It takes time and money. Mm-hmm. But it's transformational. As one of the great things of my job is when I have the privilege to go on a vision trip, and I see other pastors.
Get excited.
Yeah. They see the trafficked girls that have been rescued.
Yeah.
They see the new churches that have been planted.
Yeah.
And it's like, my work is done here.
Yeah.
I mean, God just takes it and runs with it.
And
so it begins with the leaders.
It does. So, you know, if you got some money, write your pastor a check and say, we're sending you. Do you guys take mission groups?
We do.
All right. So
we do.
You're going to see his website at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Call that website. Get your pastor to go on a trip. Because, you know, I'll tell you, Jerry, way back in 1986, Bill Bright from Campus Crusade was still alive.
Yep.
He took a busload of us to India.
Yep.
We went in the middle of nowhere, put up a sheet, and a lot of these the Jesus film. They had never seen a movie before.
Yep.
And these people are seeing the Jesus life and death and resurrection. They're crying and they get converted and they started the house groups. So, yeah.
Exactly. Just on our last vision trip, we take the Jesus film as well. We use that.
Mm-hmm.
We use Faith Comes by Hearing, and we partner with the American Bible Society.
Good.
But we had a group went up to a remote village in Nepal. They showed the Jesus film. It was the summer, so it was monsoon season. Our team was late for 3 hours, but the people waited.
Yeah, they sure do.
They waited.
I think we were late, too. Yeah.
They saw the Jesus film.
Yeah.
One of my friends who went, he said, well, no one's going to receive Christ here. How's this going to happen?
Yeah.
Almost all 40 of the visitors,
they
came forward for prayer, for healing. Powerful stuff.
Yeah. And I think one of something like this, maybe. They should get him off that cross. What are they putting him up there for? You know, and just people just being moved. And when I came back, I was so excited. I went to my church. I started donating to the Jesus Film Project.
Yeah.
I started talking about it.
Yeah.
So it does take that. And also, but there are groups, like there's STEM ministry too, they'll take 20 people from your church, not the pastor necessarily, and that gets people excited to give to missions.
It does. And, you know, actually part of my job is to help people get excited.
Yeah.
The best tool I have in the toolbox is the vision trip.
Uh-huh.
But it's the hardest to get people to engage in,
okay?
Because it does take time. And I know, I was a busy pastor.
Yeah.
I was reluctant to go. Yeah. I get it. I get it. So I work with mission teams, and I'm happy to work with mission teams. I travel North America.
Mm-hmm.
I speak in churches.
Mm-hmm.
I talk with pastors. But again, to your original question, I think it's, you know, getting the leadership involved.
Yeah.
But if I could just say this.
Yeah.
In my life, when I came back from India 3 years
Whoops.
Ago.
Your microphone dropped.
Oh, thank you.
We want you to be heard here.
Okay, see, this is maybe the most exciting part
there
of the whole
thing. There you go.
Okay.
And the question is, can I do it?
Can you do it? Here we go. Is this online?
Uh-huh.
And do you edit this out?
No, we won't.
Well, you won't. All right, sorry about that. Got a little excited. But when I came back from India, for example, I started praying, making some new prayer commitments, a half hour a day.
Mm.
And pretty soon I started praying this prayer, Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm willing. And so I would just encourage your viewers just to start praying about availability to God and just start praying about the world, and you never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
So. Amen. And the way I do it,
Tuesdays
is often the day I will take out my list and I'll pray for these missionaries in China or wherever they're at. And I've got a list that I could probably rattle off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But these are people I pray for because we need to coat them in prayer and protection because, you know, of all the dangers there are in the mission.
Yep. That's right.
All right. So personally, you got to start praying. Go to Operation World.
Operation World. And Mark Batterson has done a nice book on Circle Maker, 40 Days of Prayer.
Okay.
I've actually read through that book about 5 times, believe it or not. And every chapter has a different aspect of prayer.
Okay.
And that can be a catalyst to the prayer as well. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was, before we rolled the cameras, Jerry and I prayed, and one of the things we prayed for is that people watching this show would get a zeal for world missions, and the churches would get zeal. But my hope is somebody watching this show is going to become a missionary, where you actually go over, or you stay in America and raise funds or whatever. But my hope is some of you will really, you know, many years ago, Jerry, what was it called? InterVarsity's Urbana.
Yeah,
somebody
went to that.
Oh, you did? Somebody made a powerful sermon years ago, and he said, given the fact that America is gospel glutted, he made the point, you should assume you're called overseas unless you get a specific call to stay home.
I remember kind of hearing that.
Yeah. And so you were a normal pastor. Now you're kind of doing just world missions, or that's your focus here in the United States. Okay. And if someone is wondering, you know, maybe I should be a missionary or in some way support missions.
Yep.
How can they, what do they do?
Sure. Well, actually, you know, the website that I'm going to have at the end.
Okay, let's put that up now if we can.
Yep. Or if they want to contact me at jerry.schomer@converge.org.
Yes, there you go. jerry.converge.org/give/66758.
Yep.
Jerry Schomer.
And on that webpage, there'll be my email address.
Uh-huh.
If they email me, I can introduce them to our World Missions team.
Good.
And, you know, we can begin the discussion.
Good.
Our goal, currently we have about 150 missionaries, and our goal in the next 10 years is to double that to 300.
Great.
And
we're just talking one denomination.
Yeah, that's just our denomination.
Which it used to be called the Baptist General Conference.
Correct.
Bethel University here in the Twin Cities.
Correct.
That's where I went.
Yeah, and me too.
And the Baptists, I'm a Lutheran, but the Baptists really taught me that we're saved by grace, not by good works.
That's so true.
They are the ones that really got me grounded in Scripture.
Yeah.
So Baptist General Conference, which is a smaller Baptist denomination.
It is. We're just 1,300 churches, but we're growing.
Yeah.
And we have a, you know, just a real commitment to world missions, and we're seeking to grow in that area as well.
And your church, Eagle Brook?
The church I go to is Eagle Brook Church.
And that's the largest church in Minnesota.
It is the largest church in
Minnesota. And is it like the fifth and the largest in the country or something?
Well, last time I checked, it was about a number 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Of the whole country?
Of the whole country.
And it's the Baptist General Conference Church.
It is.
And I'm just curious how this worked. Are you the one that helped them become zealous for missions, or did that happen before you came on?
Oh, it happened way before
it
I came on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, we're in discussions regarding, we'll just leave it at that.
I've always been maybe my very first church, when I served Hope Lutheran Church for 29 years, they were supporting all kinds of missionaries before I even walked in the door.
Right, right.
And are there a lot of churches that don't support any missionaries?
You know, here's a few numbers for you. The average church gives about 6% of their receipts to missions.
6%.
About 6%.
Okay.
Now, there's some little more established churches that I see, maybe 10, 15. And some are like 20%, but that's kind of the exception.
Uh-huh.
But the average is about 6%.
Okay.
But the other thing that I have learned as I've been on this journey is so much of our money goes to missionaries that are working where people have access to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
The work that I'm involved in with the Timothy Initiative, that is our partner group, and that's a key website as well, the Timothy Initiative. Mm-hmm. We reach those folks that have no access to the gospel.
Yeah. Like what countries are we talking
about?
Well,
again, North India, Nepal, that 1040 window. There's another website. We're inundating your audience with website, but it's called the Joshua Project.
Okay.
And if they Google the Joshua Project, there's a video. It's a 4-minute video. It's called The State of World Missions.
Mm.
And it gives a comprehensive overview of how our mission dollars
go. That sounds good.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And here's the bottom line.
Yeah.
About 3% of our missionaries work among the people that have little or no access to the gospel, and about 1% of our mission dollars go to the region. Yeah. So
why is that?
Why is that? Because most of our Western missionaries go to places where there is a gospel foothold.
Mm-hmm.
When we plant house churches in the 1040 window, and when we use national leaders, we're going to what we call unreached people groups, UPGs, where it's less than 2%.
Mm.
So we focus in those areas, and we also focus in areas called UUPGs, unreached and unengaged people groups, areas where there's no missionary or no church.
Mm-hmm.
So, bottom line, what I'm trying to do as I work with churches is to help allocate
toward the unreached.
Yes, their new mission dollars to unreached and least reached.
And have you heard this? Because some Islamic nations are so close to the gospel that Muslims are having dreams of Jesus. Have you heard about this?
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
And in Africa, where we have leadership, sometimes what will happen in these Muslim countries, there will be difficulties and violence and hardship. And then our missionaries, our church planters, will come in, our national leaders, and they'll tell them about the love of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And people will come to know Christ. But I also hear that, just like you said, they are having dreams of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I can put in another word, at Wooddale Church here in the Twin Cities, they're doing a seminar called Common Ground. It's a 3-day seminar on how to share the gospel with our Muslim friends.
Oh, okay.
And so if they go to the Wooddale website,
they can go to that.
I think they'll get some information on that.
Well, and let's talk money for just a minute.
Okay.
I wish American Christians would stop sending money to these health and wealth preachers that are buying jets and instead send their money to groups like yours.
Mm.
I'm going to name a couple groups that I like to give to.
Sure.
One is called International Christians Concern.
Sure.
Go to persecution.org.
Yep.
They have a radio ministry broadcasting the gospel into Islamic countries.
Yep.
They have ministries to support the wives and children of the men that are in jail for preaching the gospel.
Yep. Yep.
And they do underground mission work. So it's International Christians Concern. I like the Jesus Film Project from Campus Crusade.
Yep. We're in partnership with them. We love that.
And so if they're interested in supporting your ministry, again, they go to your website?
If they want to support my ministry, my role, they can go to my website.
Yep,
absolutely.
Which is coming up in a minute.
Okay. I mean, that'd be great.
Uh-huh.
And then if they want to plant a church for $333, Converge Worldwide, the same place where my website is, it's called Global Church Multiplication.
Okay, good.
If they just type that in, there'll be a web page that comes up
on
that.
And if you go to a church and you never talk about world missions. That would be a starting point, is for you to say, Pastor, can we, for $333 a month, support a church overseas? Can we at least start with that?
That's why I love my job. Yeah. I can go to the smallest church, and if they have a heart, 50 people, and if they can plant a church.
Yeah.
The smallest offering we've received, and you know, $452. But you know what? And we always have a matching gift, or almost always have a matching gift. That almost got to $1,000, which will almost plant three churches and reach 60 people for Christ.
Great.
So it's amazing. And then, of course, there's churches that will step up for tens of thousands of dollars.
Good. And when I get that's where I want my money to go.
When I get those calls, it makes my job, this is so exciting, not because of the money part, but because I know it's going to train a church planter who I've met, who needs a little training. They got the Holy Spirit and power, but they need a little theological training and ongoing leadership coaching.
And see, Jerry, because I've been overseas and I've seen this, if I'm going to give somebody $1,000, I don't want to give, no offense, I'm not saying anything's wrong with buying new church carpeting, but I want to give it to start a church so 1,000 people can come to Christ, rather than let's get red instead of green carpet. You know what I mean?
You know, I hear you. I hear you. And again, I just want to say to all any pastor that might be listening, I served as a pastor for 33 years, so I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to pay salaries. We've got to clean.
Too. But Jerry, I'd rather live with ugly carpeting and send that mission overseas.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
But you're right. I mean, we don't want to. All right, we've got about 50 seconds. Can you quickly close us in prayer that God would give the watchers today a zeal for missions?
Okay. Oh, Father, thank you for the privilege to just share a little bit about what you're doing around the world. Thank you for the people that are listening in. And Lord, I pray that you'll just give them the courage to take the next step, whether it's praying or maybe even if they want to contact me, I can give them some information on the next steps. Thanks for Tom, for his ministry here. Will you continue to bless it? And then finally, Lord, I just pray that you will make our hearts big and for people that don't know you, and help us to invest in that.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Jerry. God
you
bless
bet.
Your work. And
you
everybody,
bet.
What are we out of time? We're out of time. See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.